Welcome to the special edition of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. Tune in to hear leaders in neurology sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. I'm your host, Marco Meglio, editor with Neurology Live, and today I have a breaking news story. On Friday, March 21st, the FDA approved Givinostat, marketed as Duvistat by Italfarmaco, as a treatment for patients with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. The therapy, an HDAC inhibitor, becomes the first non-steroidal drug approved to treat patients with all genetic variants of DMD. The therapy's approval was supported by the Phase 3 EPIDES trial, a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, multi-centered study comprised of 179 ambulant male individuals with DMD. Of these, 120 boys formed the target population. Published in The Lancet Neurology, results from the study showed a slower decline in Givinostat-treated patients on the primary endpoint of climbing 4 stairs in comparison with placebo. The FDA indicated that the recommended dose of Givinostat is determined by the patient's body weight and it should be administered orally twice daily with food. The agency also noted that the prescribing information for the Italfarmaco product includes warning about the need to evaluate patient platelet counts and triglycerides before prescribing. Following the approval, Sharon Hesterly, the Executive Vice President and Chief Research Officer at the Muscular Dystrophy Association, sat down with Neurology Live to discuss the approval and what it means for patients with Duchenne. Here's Dr. Hesterly on how the approval changes the landscape of care for DMD.
So I think the big thing is that now we have drugs that work in different pathways and different mechanisms. So you can start to think about combining these drugs. Sort of the standard therapy, the gold standard for Duchenne for many years has been corticosteroids, which are great, but come with a lot of side effects. So just last year we had approved Agamree, which is sort of a type, you know, an alternative to steroids with less side effects. But that works on certain pathways. And the new drug, Duvistat, I think it's pronounced Duvistat, works on different pathways. So it's a different mechanism. And so you could imagine a scenario where you can start combining these drugs. And then you have the more, you know, complex biologics, exon skipping drugs, and even gene therapy now. So the potential to combine different types of drugs that work in different ways might really start giving us significant benefits together. This is where breakthroughs have come in cancer and in AIDS and other areas where you've combined treatments and given people cocktails of drugs. So I think it's starting to get us in that, you know, position where we can start doing that in Duchenne.
What was once a disorder with minimal to no therapeutic options, there are now several different drugs approved for DMD. These include casimersen, deflazacort, eteplirsen, viltolarsen, golodirsen, and elevidys, which is the only gene therapy approved. Givinostat's approval once again represented another step of progress for this patient community. Here's Dr. Hesterly on the positive downstream effects of the approval.
Yeah, so again, it's always great for families to have choices. Sometimes one drug is not the right choice for various reasons. It could be side effect profile, other things. So, you know, even if you don't want to combine drugs, just having the potential to have a choice. The other thing that's nice about Duvistat is that it's not, you know, mutation specific. So in theory, it's something that could be useful for Duchenne and Becker, and it's, you know, sort of mutation agnostic. So a much wider audience of people who can take this drug than can take some of the more specific genetic biologic drugs. So I think that's another good thing about it. It's potential to be widespread use, and it, you know, potentially might even be useful beyond Duchenne into some of the other muscular dystrophies.
In the Phase 3 EPIDES study, 95% of the adverse events recorded were mild to moderate in severity, with 3 boys withdrawing because of an AE. In the clinical trial program, patients on therapy mainly experienced side effects that included diarrhea, abdominal pain, thrombocytopenia, platelet decrease, and triglyceride decrease. Here's Dr. Hesterly providing thoughts on the safety of Givinostat.
As described, I think they were generally mild and manageable. So, you know, like with any drug, you need to pay attention to the side effect profile. And of course, looking at combinations of drugs, you probably have a good idea what other things people are taking at the same time. But I don't think there were any, sort of major red flags with the drug. But clinicians will be in a good position to judge that based on the label information.
The neuromuscular field in general has seen significant growth in recent years, mainly driven by a greater understanding of the genetic causes of some of these disorders. In addition, there has been a greater interest from industry leaders and pharmaceutical companies to tackle these disorders. Here's Dr. Hesterly on the promising outlook of the DMD field and what's in store for 2024.
So I think the big thing we're waiting on now is to see if the gene therapy from Sarepta gets full approval. So it was approved conditionally for a sort of limited age range, and I think we should find out in a couple months whether it will get an expanded approval. We're also looking at readout of phase three data from the Pfizer gene therapy study that's ongoing, and then there are a whole range of exon skipping drugs that are in development, sort of the second generation drugs that might, be more effective that we're keeping an eye on now too. So a lot going on in the Duchenne space. It's sort of blown up, which is great because again, having options is good. Having the ability to combine drugs is going to make a huge difference.
Gene therapy has become a major topic in the neuromuscular field and Duchenne in general, fueled by Sarepta's approved therapy SRP-9001 in 2023. The conversations behind gene therapy are only expected to grow louder with more support from industry. Here's Dr. Hesterly on how the field is overcoming some of the current roadblocks with gene therapy.
Well, I think gene therapy is sort of coming into its own slowly. It's been, a field that has been over 25 years in developing, and now we're starting to see approval. So, of course, there's an approval in SMA with Zolgensma, which really had remarkable effects. In Duchenne, I think the effects aren't quite as dramatic as what we've seen in SMA, but they're certainly measurable and, appear beneficial. It could be that treating boys earlier might have an even greater effect. I think these are all questions that we still, it's early days and we don't know the answers to those. We're also starting to understand in a better way how to manage side effects for gene therapies and looking at new vectors that we could dose at lower levels so you might have less side effects. The other thing we really need to tackle with gene therapy, of course, is that after you've been treated, you're functionally immunized against that gene therapy vector, so you can't be treated again. And people are working hard on this, question of how do we retreat? Because it may be one and done, it may not. We really don't know how long the benefits of gene therapy are going to last. It would be nice to have the ability to retreat people. And we're also working hard to figure out some people have pre-existing antibodies to the vector and they're not eligible for gene therapy. So how can we get around that? So I think those are some major focus areas for gene therapy and neuromuscular disease. And then just beyond that, briefly, I will say that the other thing that I know that we're interested in and have sort of been investing in lately is non-viral gene therapy. So are there other ways to deliver genes to muscle tissue other than using a modified virus?
Duchenne muscular dystrophy is a rare X-linked neuromuscular disorder caused by mutations in the gene for dystrophin. Patients typically present in early childhood with gait abnormalities, muscle weakness, and delayed motor and cognitive function. Over the years, patients may develop respiratory insufficiency and complications with pneumonia and heart failure. Here's Dr. Hesterly on some of the remaining unmet needs in DMD that need addressing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's always different things that can be addressed. I think a real focus that we all need to pay attention to in the field is, how do we rebuild muscle that's been lost? Most of the therapies that have been approved lately, which are fabulous, will likely slow down the loss of muscle. But, in gene therapy, you can't treat muscle that's not there. You're not putting genes in cells that don't exist. So for people who've already lost a lot of muscle mass, we really need to start looking at ways to regenerate muscle. And unlike the nervous system, which has some regenerative capacity, but is a little bit limited, muscle really can regenerate. And we need to figure out how we can regenerate muscle and say that, just because you've lost that muscle doesn't mean there's nothing we can do for you. So I think that's the next push, and that's a real unmet need, is what do we do? There are plenty of people living with muscle disease who already have lost a lot of function. And I think our next focus is how do we bring back that function?
Overall, Givinostat's approval adds to the list of approved treatments for families facing this devastating disease and is an important step forward in accelerating transformative treatments for everyone independent of their genetic mutation. Here's Dr. Hesterly one last time on the closing thoughts of Givinostat's approval.
Well, we think this approval is really exciting because Givinostat, or Divistat, its brand name, is the first HDAC inhibitor, the particular type category of drug that has been approved for muscular dystrophy. There are some other HDAC inhibitors approved, but they've primarily been in the cancer space. So this is a new sort of direction for these drugs. And we're just pleased to have been a part of this. We funded some of the foundational research in HDAC inhibitors and muscular dystrophy. And it's just really gratifying to see, you know, yet another drug approved where we feel like we played some role in that. And we're excited that that option is available to people now.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Neurology Live Mind Moments podcast. To support the show, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And as always, for more neurology news and expert-driven content, visit neurologylive.com.